Hey, it's Party Time, Mom. Welcome to another episode of the Chad Braith Show, Studio 22, the mothership, Puppet Master Mark, driving us into the nether regions, which is the pandemic called COVID-19, the Woo Flu. We're on day 7. I don't even know. I'm just making up numbers. Sounds about right. Quarantine and chill, folks. Quarantine and chill. Candice, the queen of the Ethiopians. Have you had a fever yet? Have you had shortness of breath? Any runny nose? Any coughing? Dry coughs? Anything?
No, I'm all clear. We 100%. Are good. We're still running.
Yeah, Texas ragweed, though. It'll get you. Mm-hmm. It'll get you. Sarah Gonzalez, the host of The News and Why It Matters, and Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered on YouTube, which everyone should be subscribing to. Subscribe to our YouTubes, folks. That's where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's at. Subscribe. How are you?
I'm good.
How's your family?
We are great.
Are y'all not living in like bubbles?
No,
bubbles?
We're not actually. I'm getting real tired of just sitting around at home. Gotta tell you, I'm real tired of it.
Gets old.
Yeah, real quick.
Well, I'm gonna go broke buying stuff that's delayed in shipping from Amazon.
Yeah, us too.
Like, I don't care. I can wait 6 weeks.
Are you getting? We're getting a lot of takeout too because I feel bad. I'm trying to like do my part to help the poor local restaurants in the area. And we have so much food in the fridge, and I'm just like, we should order takeout again.
We did that last night, and they screwed us on the order.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, they didn't give us all the food we ordered. So, and I get it. A lot of these restaurants aren't accustomed to that kind of deal. Party Foul Steve, are you door dashing?
Nope. We cook at home.
Cooking so everything? That's a cute ponytail you're wearing.
Thank you.
Well, we cook too.
We're getting low on snacks here at the Blaze. I don't know how long we can last.
We're virtually out of snacks here at the Blaze.
We are. What are we gonna
do? I did walk through the studio today. I walked through the main atrium there, the narthex, if you will, and I spotted a rare sighting of Glenn Beck.
No.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
No.
I saw Glenn Beck.
Don't believe you.
He came out. It's like Groundhog Day. He came out and he's like, we got 6 more weeks of pandemic.
All right. See you guys.
Yeah.
It's all been a body
his
double.
Shadow. Natalie, wow. Are you guys okay in the slake?
We're good.
Yeah?
We are good.
Good. I pray for y'all in South Lake because I know y'all are the hardest hit.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you, Joseph and I went and ate at a restaurant yesterday.
Did
please,
you?
I did. Please, no, nobody write me
no,
offended
good for you.
That I ate at a restaurant.
We, good for you.
Yeah, we...
We frequent a lot of 5-star restaurants ourselves. We've gotten a message from all of them. I didn't know that the pandemic meant that you now have to get an email
from every business
on every single company that you've ever given your email to talk about their COVID-19 response.
Some of them, I'm convinced I've never given my email to them, and I'm a little bit worried as to how they found my email to begin with.
Allison, everybody knows Allison.
Mm-hmm.
She recommended yesterday that we send out an email talking about our distribution and our t-shirts and things like that and how we're still delivering things and all of this. And I said, hell to the no. We will not give our pandemic response from CP Entertainment. We won't.
I like
but
that.
But we will sell them a shirt.
Yes.
Oh, of course we will.
Yeah.
We'll even sell you some tickets to Billy Bob's Texas on June 7th.
Okay.
It's going to be a we're still here party is what it's going to be. We survived. We survived. It could turn into a mass Roman orgy. I don't know. Who knows? 5,000 of our closest friends at the world's largest honky tonk. You bet. Let that bunch of rednecks loose, man. Howdy!
Yeehaw.
Woo! I got some big things. I'm gonna inspire you today. I spent the week pissed off, but I'm gonna inspire you. But first, my good buddy Evan Hafer. He founded Black Rifle Coffee Company in 2014, along with his Army Ranger buddy Matt Best, who's also our friend. And as a combination of two passions, developing premium roast-to-order coffee and supporting the veteran and military community, Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veteran law enforcement and first responder causes with the Buy a Bag, Give a Bag campaign. Black Rifle Coffee Company donated over 30,000 pounds of coffee to troops overseas in 2019. Black Rifle Coffee offers a variety of roast profiles from light, medium, and dark, all sourced from around the world through a rigorous process and roasted in the U.S. at the BRCC facilities in Tennessee, Utah. Evan is continually researching and experimenting with new roast methods and coffee origins. True coffee lovers should look into the exclusive coffee subscription every month. Black Rifle Coffee Company releases a limited amount of exotic micro coffees from different corners of the world. Black Rifle Coffee Company also offers a selection of premium gear and merchandise, from t-shirts to outdoor brew equipment. And the best way to enjoy Black Rifle Coffee Company is, of course, through their coffee club, a free subscription where your chosen coffee is roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. In addition to the convenience, you're going to receive special discounted pricing and gain access to exclusive products that are only for members only. You're going to get partner discounts, more things out there that you can even imagine. Just, you didn't know coffee could be such a cult. You're going to enjoy it. Purchase at blackriflecoffee.com/watchchad. Use promo code watchchad for 20% off your first order. It's going to get good in here. Stay tuned. Never more than ever have we needed to be a global community. And it starts at home. It starts in your own community, in your own neighborhood, in your own city. And ultimately, if you are a true influencer, which we all can be in this day and age, in this age of social media and frequent platforms where we have the ability to put our voices out there, to take responsibility and use those voices for positive things. We spend a lot of time making fun of and harassing and ridiculing the nonsensical things of the world in order to get you to try to see through the hubbub and the cloudiness into common sense. Some of you get offended by that, but that's because you've become soft. Okay? So today I'm going to give you a strong message on how you can change your world. And I'm not joking. I'm going to give you some stuff. And I'm going to talk to these guys who I believe are true influencers in my world, because they influence me every day. All of you guys sitting in this studio, I want you to know how much I not only cherish your friendship, but value what you contribute into my life. So thank you, Natalie.
You're welcome.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And I want to get y'all's input. Now, if you've ever heard me, most of you, if you've ever heard me speak publicly, there's a good chance you've heard me lay down what I consider my life principles. I want to share those with you today. They apply in every situation you can ever get to at any point in your life. I've been using them for 25 years. They've changed my life, and they happen from a micro level to a macro level, and it absolutely revolutionizes my day, my month, my year, and my life. So we're going to get into that. Walt Mason said 100 years ago that there's a man in this world who's never turned down where every chance is to stray. He gets a glad hand in the populous town and out where the farmers make hay. He's greeted with pleasure in deserts of sand, and deep in the aisle of the woods, wherever he goes, there's a welcoming hand. He's the man who delivers the goods. Steve, you've heard me say that a million times. A million times.
At least a million times.
At least a million times. I want you, those of you listening, those of you watching, to be a man or a woman that knows how to deliver the goods. Now, we've talked about these delays in shipping and all of these things that are going out there, and how we notice when the goods don't get delivered, right? We notice when things don't show up on time. We notice when we order our food supplies from whatever, like if we want that, the emergency preparedness stuff, and they say, well, it's going to be 6 weeks before we can get it to you. We notice when it doesn't get delivered. I think that for too long, we've become people in this country who claim to have certain values, but we don't deliver anymore. We don't show up with anything that's worth anything, okay? And I want that to change, because we've lost our sense of community. We've lost our sense of benevolence, our sense of generosity. Sarah, I don't want socialism to happen in this country. I think you'd agree with me on that.
I would definitely agree with you 100%.
I don't think we can handle it.
No.
We are a spoiled first world country.
Yes. Well, we are so spoiled that we have a certain subset of people who think that they're oppressed. That's how spoiled we are. We live in a bubble where we think that somehow life isn't good enough, because we have absolutely no idea and no perspective on how the rest of the world lives.
These rushes on grocery stores where the bread aisle is just empty and people are lined up down the street waiting to get into the box stores like Costco or Sam's. I'll tell you one thing that it's revealed to the grocery business is what you should not stock your shelves with. Because I've seen pictures of like all the frozen pizzas gone, mm-hmm. except for the pineapple. Like, it's still full. Nobody wants a damn pineapple pizza.
I'll die before I eat that pizza.
Exactly. Like, I know. Pineapple on my pizza. Not going to have pineapple pizza. There's nobody's eating certain things that
sushi
are out there.
The vegan food. I saw the empty shelves and just the vegan
food. I did too. There were a bunch of vegan meat patties.
Nobody's buying the sushi. Nobody's buying. People say, oh, that's racist. They're avoiding the Chinese food and the Japanese food. No, it's just, it's perishable and it's going to be
bad
within
2 days.
Yeah. So there's that. But we would have a hard time surviving in that because we've become weak. You've heard the adage before that strong men make good times make weak men make hard times, and hard times make strong men. So that's the thing. We're in a place where we've had such good times, and we've become so weak because of it that now we're having hard times, and we don't know how to behave because we've gotten soft. We don't know. People are losing their minds. You know, our grandfathers were called to storm the beaches at Normandy. Our president's asking us to sit at home on the couch, and we're bitching about it. How did you spend the plague of 2020? Well, I stayed at home and posted memes. You know, we're really suffering here, aren't we? I mean, we come into our conditioned air shelters, and we eat our food. None of us have fallen on. I mean, we even have grocery stores that say, okay, so the shelves are empty today. We got more stuff coming. Mm-hmm. Because we don't live in socialism. Thank God for capitalism, right? And people to talk about, they want to depend on the government to provide everything. You know, you want the government to give you health care. Well, health care is a basic human right. We've heard that. It's not. Well, okay, gun ownership is a basic human right. Well, you can have your guns. No, I want the government to give me guns. Well, the government can't give you guns. I thought it was a basic human right. Well, then how can the government give me health care and not give me guns if they're both basic human rights? You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That's the type of logic that's out there. People aren't thinking through this stuff. So how do we deliver the goods? How do we become the people who make a difference in our own communities? And I'm not just talking about, you know, you talk about that beacon, that light shining on a hill, you know, that Ronald Reagan talked about. And how do you become not only that, a nation, a good nation? You know, de Tocqueville said that America is good because its people are good. And if we don't continue to be good, we're going to have a problem. America is one generation away from extinction. It concerns me when I see the mindset of all these young people out there, right? Who are thinking in a way that is so diametrically opposed to the system of economy and government that gave them all of the privileges that they have. So I encourage people with four things. I'm going to get into them section by section as we go. And I want y'all's input on this as well. The first thing, and it sounds so trite, it sounds so cliche, and it sounds like something you've heard a million times, but I'm telling you, no life exists without it. And that is vision. If you don't have a vision for life and where you're going to go, what you're going to do with your life, you're screwed. So many people are suffering right now because they did not prepare. They had no vision for hard times. When you got vision for your life, you got to see beyond your boundaries. We're sitting in this studio surrounded by four walls. There may be a massive wreck happening out here on Riverside Drive. I don't know. We don't know because we can't see that far. We're bounded by our horizons. You know, there's that great old apocryphal story of King George on July the 4th, 1776, supposedly wrote in his diary, "Nothing important happened today." Now think about that. He didn't know that American and the colonies, American colonies had just declared revolution against his own kingdom. He was at war and he didn't know it. Why? Because he couldn't see across the Atlantic Ocean. He was limited by his horizons. There was no ability to see that far for him. That's how we are. We're so damn short-sighted these days that we can't see in the midst of the good times. We're bounded by the vision of good times to the point where, and all these folks out there screaming, "He's not my president." You are so blessed to be able to say that. Mm-hmm. You're so blessed to be able to make that claim, to live in this country where you can go out there and talk about your leader.
Say that in Russia or North Korea.
Say it in China. Say it in Russia. I mean, we did a monologue and an opening statement a couple of weeks ago that Candace had prepared and we delivered, talking about how Vladimir Putin demands to be not only revered but worshipped in a way. You don't have that in America, right? We're so blinded by the good things we have. And people haven't prepared. That's why I said yesterday, I said, you know, you got all these people who laughed at me for years saying, "Oh, okay, you're prepping. Yeah, you're prepping." Now I'm like, F you, man. Don't come at me want some of my pineapple pizza.
I don't think they will.
I think you're good.
But how often do we, honest to God, sit back and say, all right, let me look at all the scenarios for what could potentially happen to me and my family? What is my vision? What's going to happen? I tell a story about a few years ago, a friend of mine called me and he wanted to go fishing. And I didn't have time to go, but I went. He talked me into it. We're sitting out there and there is a flat shoreline where we're standing. There's a tree providing a little bit of shade. And on all three corners, or all three sides rather, of the tank we were fishing in, there was a 45 degree bank that went up about 60 feet on all three sides. And there was a dirt road that came down out of the woods and to the top of the bank that was on our left side. And so 60 feet above us, I can hear this guy in a truck coming down the road, and you can tell he's in a hurry. He slides to a stop, big dust cloud pops up, and this big fat guy steps out, big old fat boy. And he's wearing his dress shirt and his slacks. You could tell he's been at work. And you know, one of those guys that kind of Jerry Nadler's it, kind of wears the belt up here, like it's way above the belly button. Probably hadn't seen his pecker, and he got the dicky do. Yeah. And so... So anyway, he's in a rush and he's grabbing his tackle box, he's grabbing his fishing pole, and he's yelling down to us, hey, are the fish biting? Are the fish biting? And we're giving him the thumbs up, right? And so he pulls out one of those inner tube deals with the legs on it, and he starts sliding that thing on, and he's really testing the elasticity of this inner tube. And he stretches that thing on his body. Well, he's so big around, he's holding his tackle box and his fishing pole, he's not paying attention. So he starts to walk towards the water, and I think he was intending to come around our way, but he stepped off that bank, that 45-degree angle, and the first step turned into a second and third step, and they got heavier and stronger and faster, so that by the time he was halfway down, he was in a run, and by the time he was three-quarters of the way down, he was in a full-blown sprint. So that when he ran into the water, holding his stuff, arms out, with that inner tube around his fat belly, when it got about knee-high... He just flipped upside down, boom. And now there were these two rubber legs just floating across the water and just kicking like this, right? And you could see his little brown boots and his right, and he was upside down. Well, he couldn't get back over. He was stuck like that. Yeah. So I looked at my buddy and I said, we need to go save him, right? So we cut out across the water. We got over there to him and he's totally struggling. I mean, this guy had to weigh 400 pounds if he weighed five. And we plop him out. You know, he just comes out with a little suction pop and he's blue and he's purple and he's gasping, he's spitting water. His tackle box is floating off across the lake. His fishing rod's already sunk. And he never said a word to us. He just shimmied that thing off on the bank, soaking wet. You can see his big man nipples through his white pressed dress shirt. You know, and he climbs back up on all fours on that bank, gets in his truck, and he just drives off. Never says a word. He was just humiliated. Left everything behind. Left the inner tube on the side of the bank, the whole thing. And I always remind people, I said, you know, you could be heading into something that you're really looking forward to, and all of a sudden you take one misstep because you're not looking where you're going, and the next thing you know, you're almost killing yourself. You're drowning. I mean, you're so deep in this thing. That's why it frustrates me to talk about people who, you know, want to get some kind of bailout from the president or from the federal government. And I'm just telling you, man, you don't know what you're asking for. May be a good thing, maybe a bad thing, but we don't know. Hopefully you've had enough vision for your life to at some point put $1,000 back. Subsidize yourself. But we can't, because, you know, the other day was St. Patrick's Day. And you know what? The bars were still full with a bunch of kids who were out there, selfish alcoholics, couldn't stay away from green beer long enough to not go out there and spread their germs. You know, I saw this deal of some big gay party that was happening out in, was it LA, Candace? I don't remember. And they went out there and suddenly some of them started testing positive for COVID-19 because they had this big old...
I think it was 10,000 of them.
Yes.
I think I
read. St. Patrick's soiree. And so they start testing positive for COVID. And which, I mean, I'm sure they've tested positive for a lot of things in their life and COVID's not what they're worried about. But you know what? Have a little forethought for your life. You know what I'm saying? Have a little forethought for your life. So vision, see beyond your boundaries. It leads to something very important, and I'm going to get into that in the next segment. Hang tight. Losing your hair sucks, folks. You know what doesn't suck? Keeping your hair. And you know what else really doesn't suck? keeping your hair without leaving your couch. If you're losing your hair, you got to know Keeps. Keeps offers the generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products. That's the real deal, folks. And the generic versions save you a fortune in money. See, you could already be putting the money back. It's simple. Just answer a few online questions, snap a few pics of your hair, and a doctor will review everything and recommend the right FDA-approved hair loss treatment for you. Then it's shipped discreetly to your door. You're probably wondering, will it work? Well, a whopping 66% of men experience hair regrowth thanks to Keeps. Losing your hair does suck, but let's do something about it. Here's the deal I want you to have. Go to Keeps, KEEPS.com/loss, and get your first order of Keeps hair loss treatment for 50% off. Yeah, that's right, half off. That's Keeps.com/loss. Go right now to Keeps.com/loss. We'll be right back. So what's your vision? Do you have a vision? Can you see beyond your boundaries? We're all bounded by something. What are you going to do when this is over with? What are you going to do when the COVID-19 is no longer a thing, when it's all finished? I mean, are you ready? Are you prepared? Some of you are on hard times right now, and you're going to head into even harder times. But you know what? It doesn't cost you a single thing to develop a vision, all right? So I'm preaching to you, Natalie.
I feel it.
We've gotten away from this. This is a simple principle. We've gotten away from these things. You know how you know you got the right vision? You know how you know?
A vision board.
But how do you know you're putting the right things on the vision board? And I have friends who do that every year.
Oprah told me.
Oprah.
Oprah told me what
Oprah
to put on there.
Oprah trending?
Her. Was she trending?
Oprah let them kids out. Oprah turn a kid, Luke. You're Tom Hanks on the chair. Tom hold them chairs. You know you got the right vision when it inspires passion, gets you excited, makes you get up in the morning. I love getting up in the morning. My wife gets on to me all the time. She says, you don't sleep enough. And I'm like, I can't stay asleep. I'm excited. As soon as my eyes open up, I'm ready to go. I have to make myself sleep. I'm excited about life. I am genuinely excited about life. I spent so many years, Natalie, in the doldrums of life, navel gazing, feeling sorry for myself, being a victim. Poor, broke ass, bad values, wrong vision, chasing the wrong dreams, that all I want to do is just stay in the bed. I mean, you just get depressed, right? I don't have that anymore. I'm excited. I get to come up here. I get to see y'all every day.
Lucky.
Jesus help me.
That's why you're excited.
But it does
excite
me. We
love you too.
I'm a part of a great group of people. I have a lot of things. This is the most exciting and fun thing we get to do is come in here, share ideas, speak our mind freely, enjoy the folks that watch and listen to this thing. I have a passion. Passion, what is it? It's being inspired by what you see. You get a vision strong enough, you'll be inspired by it, right? I got a big vision for life. I'm 47 years old, and I feel every day of it, right? You know? You ever thrown your back out trying to put a t-shirt in a drawer? You know what I'm talking about. You know? It's true. True.
It is.
I started, it sounds like the Pied Piper's outside the studio.
What is going
calling
on?
Calling you home.
Lord. I think 47. It's the rapture.
Jesus.
Calling you home. We're missing it.
Jesus.
Alien horn going on.
You were talking earlier about us being trapped behind these walls.
Yeah.
We really
we don't
can't
know what's
see.
Going on
we just
out
have
there.
Some music come
we
over.
We don't have a vision. Something's happening out there.
Something happened.
Glenn Beck walked out and the Pied Piper started playing. Have you accepted Glenn Beck as your personal guide in life? He's your personal prepper. I'll be a personal prepper for $1,200 a month. For $1,200 a month, I will send you your personal prepping plan. I want you to have passion, though. Oliver Wendell Holmes, former Chief Justice of the United States, said, I would have joined the clergy if all of the preachers I knew didn't look like undertakers. Now, here were people who possessed the gospel, the good news, right? They should have had more excitement about their message than anybody else on the planet. And he said, these guys look like they've just been sucking sour lemons. They have no excitement. There's nothing going on in their life. The people that ought to be most excited about life are the people who are truly living it. Now, how many depressed people do you know? Go online right now. Get on social media and look at all the sob stories. Everybody can't wait to tell you That is not using your platform for positivity. That is not being the man or woman that delivers the goods. When you're sitting there, all you're doing is talking about everything that's gone wrong in your life and how people need to feel sorry for you. You got to change your tune, Steve.
But they're the same one. They're the same people that when you post something that's good, they attack that.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that is.
Misery loves company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know why that is? This is why. So I pastored for 12 years, right? Y'all know that.
No.
I pastored for 12 years.
We can't tell.
Yeah. I'm not a good pastor. I was not a good pastor. I was a great teacher, great mm-hmm. motivator, great preacher. Got to teach the Bible. I can tell you what the Greek and the Hebrew means. I can break it down for you. I can parse the verbs. I can diagram the sentences. I can tell you the history and the origins of the meanings, and I can do all that. I can give you the illustrations and the examples. I can make you laugh through it all, right? But I was a horrible pastor. You know why? Because I ain't going to sit there and pat you bobo. I ain't going to do that. People don't want their problems fixed. They want their problems understood. They want somebody to come along and feel with them, get emotionally involved there. And I'm a bottom line kind of guy. I'm prophetic in that. There's not a lot of gray with me. You always know where I stand. Now, I might not even agree with where I stand all the time. But by God, I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking right now. Got me in trouble. Sarah, you're that way.
I am. Well, and I was going to say, it's not just that they want to be understood. They want to be enabled to continue on that way.
They need permission to make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, woe is me. This has been done to me. And it's the victim mentality has gotten so ingrained in us that we don't even recognize what we're doing anymore. If it comes out, mine, let me tell you. I mean, but see, Steve, you're not doing it to complain. You do it because you're a narcissist.
Yeah, that's what I was
because
say.
You love yourself.
I do.
And Steve's passion is Steve.
I cannot like stand. I cannot stand negativity whatsoever. The whole poor pitiful me. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to hear all the.
And that's true. That's one of the reasons why you and I do so well together.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, my son, who I love dearly, he starts talking about, well, it wasn't fair that this happened. I'm like, give me a break already. Life isn't fair. Get over it, kid. I can't, not even with my own son, can I handle that.
Can't hashtag me too.
Can't do it. And I've got that with my kids too. And I'm like,
why speak that? Not. Speak that kind of stuff into your own life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. Because, and let me capitalize on what you said right there, Steve. And let me tell you, Steve is not lying. I texted him the other morning. I said, you good? He said, oh, I'm better than good. Aww. I mean, that's the kind of response I get from Steve.
So cute. Yeah. Look at him.
That's the kind of response. And I know. And Steve does believe in positivity. Steve does believe in bringing things into your life through your thought process and speaking it. And I ain't talking about some mystical name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. But the principle of life is you will rise to pursue your confession. If I'm continually speaking about positive things and profitable things and prosperous things and powerful things, even peaceful things, that's what my life is going to pursue because that's what I have put forth. I put it out there. They say that you will make within 20% of the people you hang around with. I like to hang around successful people.
Mm-hmm.
I like to hang around smart people. I like to hang around people who have done it, who have gotten it. And it shows.
Why because do you hang out with us?
Yeah. What's that?
Why do you hang out with us?
Well, y'all ain't losers. So, I mean, I do appreciate it. And I appreciate the input. That's why I said earlier, I value what you guys invest in my life. You are truly my friends. Do you know why why I climbed into the cave the way I did years ago? And I did that. I went through a divorce and I had no passion in life. I climbed into the proverbial cave. I was like King David. Oh, woe is me. God, just kill me. I went in there and hid in the cave. And the Bible talks about how while he was living in the cave, God started just adding people to him, right? Until God basically forced him out. And that's what happened with me because I had this suspicion 10 years ago. I had this thought. I said, if I died today, nobody would come to my funeral. Because I had isolated myself so much from the world. I had no friends. I had some good acquaintances. But I was like, if I died today, I was living in the middle of nowhere, North Alabama, going through hell. Nobody knew where I was. Nobody knew where I was living. Nobody was calling me on the phone. And I said, if I died today, nobody'd come. They wouldn't know.
It's so hard to imagine you like that, knowing you now.
Yeah.
That's the way I was. I can't even fathom a Chad Prather living like that.
I was so solo, I drove a motorcycle.
Wow.
I rode a motorcycle. I didn't want anybody in the car with me.
Yeah.
I was alone, man. And so I finally got to that point, and people laugh about it, and I make jokes about it, where I said, no, I ain't going to be that guy. I am not going to be that guy who sits around navel-gazing, feeling sorry for himself, worrying about what's been done to me in the past and who wronged me and who ripped me off. I'm not going to do that crap. Mm-hmm. So I stopped. I made that decision. And I'm telling you, as soon as I did that and I saw the vision for my life, because I've told you guys, just practical things. I'd drive down the street and I'd look up at the billboards on the interstate and I'd see the news crew. You know, you see Channel 4 mm-hmm. News. Yeah, and I with Biff and Sarah.
And Natalie.
Biff, Sarah, and Natalie. Natalie with weather.
They didn't let me do weather.
Yeah, definitely a weather girl.
Well, you had to quit wearing the green outfit.
Yeah, that was a green screen thing.
And I would say, I could do that job. I could do that, but nobody would let me do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do that. I'm going to use my voice to talk about the things that matter. That's when I made the decision. And I got impassioned by that. When I got that vision, I said, how can I do that? Well, YouTube's available. Facebook is available. Let's go out there and do it. And I'm not telling you to go out there and be something you're not. Friedrich Nietzsche said you can only wear two faces to the world for so long before you forget which one is the real one.
Ooh, true.
It's a fact. That's the fact. Vision is seeing beyond your boundaries. Passion is being inspired by what you see. I'm going to take you to the next point when we come back. Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. Natalie. If we could just get a vision of you back in that Cowboys cheerleader outfit.
I want to just say something real quick about the vision, because I know you have other points real quick. But I'm happy that you're saying this, because I had postpartum and a little bit of depression after I had my daughter. And to have that chemical imbalance in your brain, that's real.
It's real.
And it's hopeless. It's a hopeless feeling. And I had plenty of friends around me for me to be able to talk it out. But that's tough, you know, when you have that hopeless feeling. And I was able to snap out of it. My body kind of righted itself. But I couldn't imagine living with constant depression.
I
gained a respect for people who battle with depression on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. And so grabbing that vision is very important.
Well, you know, 2 years ago, I went back on my medication. I went back on a different medication after being off for 5 years. I deal with depression because it's a chemical thing. It's not a circumstantial thing.
Agreed.
Like, what do you have to be depressed about? Nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, people are like, well, why are you so sad all the time? Well, I deal with depression. Well, quit being a little bitch.
Right.
That's why you can't talk about it to your friends, you know? You gotta,
they tell you to snap out of it.
Yeah, I mean, just snap out of it. Mm-hmm. You can't.
You're
right?
Like, I want to. I mean, I want to.
Nobody wants to feel that way.
No.
And when you get that way, you become a little bit of asshole. And
yeah.
And sometimes I'll tell you, you're being an asshole.
Yeah.
In a nice way.
You let me stay off that medication for 3 days, and you're going to see World War Asshole 3.
Like, right.
You're never really that way to me, but I've seen you be it that way.
But I get
others.
It.
And I get that way. I get very irritable with that because I don't feel good and I don't want to be around anybody. I don't mean it. You know, I've had Jade, who's looked at me on the street. We were walking to a restaurant one time, and she was like, I know this is not you. Who you're being right now is not you. I know that's not you. And I'm just telling you right now. And I'm like, it's not me, and I apologize.
Yeah.
But now you can kiss my, you know.
Walk away.
Because you get that way because it's – but here's the thing. If you've got a vision, you got passion, here comes the hard part. That's discipline. And that's what we're getting into here, because you talk about that. Discipline is the hard part, because if you can see beyond your boundaries and you're inspired by what you see, then you should be able to put the boundaries on your life to make sure that you don't go out of bounds while you're chasing what you see. Discipline's hard.
Amen.
That's why there's rules in the game, right? That's why you can't catch the ball out of bounds in football. It doesn't matter how pretty it is. Doesn't matter how good the pictures of it were or how beautiful the pass was. You catch it out of bounds, it doesn't count, right? And so I remind people that when you go on social media, we used to live in an age where the only words that were kept for posterity were the words that mattered. Those were the priests and the prophets and the kings and the poets and the philosophers and these people that were that had something to say and were responsible with what they said. We remember what Socrates said and Aristotle and you know, these folks who have said things, right?
Mm-hmm.
That mattered. They changed history. Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. I mean, that's a powerful statement, right? We remember those things. These days, everybody has a voice. Everybody's got one, whether they're responsible or not. And we're very irresponsible with our voice a lot of times. We get on social media, just like the cavemen wrote drawings on the wall or the Native Americans put out their wall art and Egyptian hieroglyphics. Now we're putting everything on a digital wall, and it's there forever. It's there forever. It's not going to go away. And we're being very irresponsible with our words. We say a lot of things that we shouldn't say. If you don't discipline yourself to control just your mouth, even. Look at me. I get mad because I got all my double chin here. And look, I mean, part of that is I'm getting old. My skin's just losing its elasticity. But then I got my double chin. I walk past the mirror and it looks like my face is giving birth to another face. Look, you know?
See mine?
I'm like, you know, look at this. Look at this, Mark. It's... Get it out there. It's disgusting, man. I look like a thumb. I look like a dirty Q-tip. It's gross.
You know what would deflect from that? Get implants.
I should.
That's what I did. I should get
some implants, right? So, but where's the discipline? I could fix that. I could fix that.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a vision and was passionate about it. You know, once upon a time, I was very athletic, very muscular. I was a gym rat. I was into all this stuff. I mean, y'all wouldn't have. I mean, I was like, boom, bam, huh. But I had passion for it because I had a vision for it and I knew what I could do and I did it. These days I don't have that. I don't have that. I want to sit on my ass and talk to y'all. It's okay. It's okay.
And we're locked in our houses, so we can't really go to the gym.
I can't blame the pandemic for my fat ass. I can't do it. Can't do it. But okay, so, but I do want to talk to people. I do want to say things that I believe are common sense and practical and critical in terms of how we look at life. So you know what I do? I discipline myself by reading a lot. I read a lot. I read a couple of books a week. I try to read things that are profitable for me, good for my brain. I try to train myself. Do you know that if you don't read, like let's say you get out of college and you stop reading, you'll revert to an eighth grade reading level within the space of 9 months. People don't know how to, and even if you know how to read the words and you understand what you're reading, you don't comprehend them. The comprehension goes down. So you have to discipline yourself. Those are the kind of things in life that if you want to really change the world, don't go on Twitter and accept all that as fact. It's not. A lot of people are just talking about a bunch of crap, right?
Does that count as reading?
Yeah.
Well, you are reading, but it's what you're reading that ain't so good.
Not sure the quality is.
And you know what else? When you get that passion, don't go crazy out there just spilling it. You know, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. I can't tell you how many visions for your life, how many visions for life have been miscarried because doubt was invited into the delivery room. That's true. You start putting it out there, and there are people who don't find your vision as precious as you do, and guess what? They can kill it with doubt. So be disciplined enough to keep it to yourself if that's what you need to do. If you could see it, and you're inspired by what you see, and you're willing to limit your life in order to accomplish it, the final thing is risk. That's spending your life to accomplish what you see. So many people, they get behind the scope of the rifle, and it's ready, aim, 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 and they never yell fire. They never pull the trigger on anything. You got to risk it. You've got to be willing to take that step out and do something about it. I quit a great six-figure job with great benefits, great retirement. I quit it all. I stepped into nothing with nothing, had nothing, gave up everything to do what I do today. People are like, what I was doing was not who I was. I had to go be who I am. And, you know, I tell the joke about, and it's true, Jade said, well, I said, I'm going to go make a living just being myself. And Jade said, what's the street value on your personality? So we about to find out. I mean, nobody annoys me more than me. So the fact that anybody watches any of this crap, and a dude in a cowboy hat can sit there with a dog in the back seat, and millions of people are going to watch this stuff from my truck and ask for more of it, and you know, people are talking about me and you know, in the third person, and they're referencing me. These are total strangers. That blows my mind. Where were we, Steve? I mean, we go to the airport and people recognize us. That's weird.
Yep.
That's a weird deal. I was in Texas Gun Experience yesterday, and this guy, you know, he wanted to stop and have pictures and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know these people.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is.
You get it.
I was going to say almost every time I go into Texas Gun Experience.
Yeah.
I have someone who comes up to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. So, it's very weird.
It's an odd thing.
It's not something you get used to.
But none of that would be true had I not risked some things.
Yep.
But you know what, Chad, before, and probably with this crew too, before I ever met you and became, you know, like, you're one of my best friends now, like a brother to me. Before I ever met you, I shared some of your, I didn't know who you were really, but I liked what you said.
It was
in
more
your
of
truck.
A lust.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of that double chin action.
No, you know you good looking. But it wasn't that. It was what you were saying that some of us just didn't know how to articulate properly, or some people were just fearful of saying it. You would say it, and then I'd share it and be like, what he said.
What he did.
What he said.
What he did. So Oprah, let the kid go. Oprah, you know you got them kids chained up in there, baby.
Sex trafficking.
Girl, you better let them kid go. Thank you.
We did that. I did. I knew exactly who you were. Even when I met you in Vegas, you know, I knew who you were because I'd listened to what you said and it resonated with me and with so many of our friends.
Yeah. Well, it's been an interesting journey. Vision, passion, discipline, risk. I want to give you the key that ties it all together. All right. You ready for it? I'll tell you in just a second. What's the key? Vision, passion, discipline, risk. It sounds trite. I know that it does. Those who do it are going to succeed. There's no successful person out there that didn't have a vision. I'm telling you. Starts right there. But what is the key? You got to do it in that order. Can't get them out of order. Vision, passion, discipline, risk. Let me tell you why. Risk without discipline is recklessness. Discipline without passion is legalism. Passion without vision is hype. And vision without faith, whether it's faith in God, faith in yourself, faith in your friends, faith in your community, is meaningless. You got to have that faith to build it on, that faith in yourself that you can accomplish the vision. But you got to do it in that order. Because if you don't, imagine the risk without discipline. That's like jumping in an airplane and saying, well, I'm going to parachute out of this thing. Was anybody disciplined enough to know how to pack the chute? I don't know. Let's just jump anyway. That's suicide, right? So you got to have those things in that order. So I encourage everybody that's sitting out there, listen to this thing, emulate the people who have done it. Stop navel gazing. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Nobody else does. You're the only one who does it. And if you feel like the world owes you something that doesn't, you know, you could sit there and cry me a river and tell me all these things about it, what's wrong with you and everybody you take care of and all the folks in your household and stuff like that. Well, still your responsibility. That's hard truth. Still your responsibility. It's not the government. It's not mine. It's not your mama's. Life ain't fair. What you say to Sawyer, Sarah, is exactly right. It ain't fair. This idea that somebody told you life is fair, it ain't.
Mm-hmm.
I got a vision. We went out. How many sold out shows over the last 5 years? It's crazy. How many? And this, by the way, this week is the 5 year anniversary of the first time I went viral.
Wow.
On social media.
That's amazing.
You're a virus.
This is the 5 year anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. Happy viral. Now we're in the pandemic. Go to watchchad.com. And let me tell you something. You know, I can prove to you that I had that vision years ago. As soon as this thing called the internet came out, I went on and bought ChadPrather.com because I knew one day I'd need it.
I love that.
You can go to ChadPrather.com, get our new single, mine and Ryan Weaver's. Thank God for Blaze TV and thank God for this crew. I love y'all. God bless. We'll see you next time. Bye.